In today's gospel, Christ instructs us on the cost of discipleship. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king, advancing upon him with 20,000 troops, but if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's not the custom in our Catholic Church, but it is in a lot of other Christian churches, to have what they call a Commitment Sunday. It's a Sunday where they pass out forms, cards, whatever it might be. The people of the parish are asked to check off and fill out what their plans for the coming year are. In other words, how many Sundays do you plan to come to church? How often are you going to send your children to religious education? So forth and so on. Well, I read a little article not long ago written by a pastor in a Protestant church that was doing this. He passed out all the cards, sent them out to people in the parish, and when he got the cards back, he was a little bit not only amazed but discouraged by what he saw. For example, with the question, how many Sundays do you plan to come to church this year? You know, they had an option, 50 weeks, 40 weeks, whatever it was, to check off. He said many people did not check off any box at all. Rather, down below in the little space they had left for comments, they wrote something like this: "I will come as often as I can." Now remember, this is Commitment Sunday. I will come as often as I can. So he, reflecting on that, he said, I wonder what they really meant when they wrote that down. I wonder what they really meant was this: I will come when I want to. I will come when I don't have something better to do. Commitment Sunday. Now, if that's what some of those people meant when they put that down at the bottom, I will come when I don't have something better to do, I wonder how Jesus in the gospel this morning would like that answer. Because today's gospel is pretty severe, isn't it, when we think about it? He's presenting to us today the demands of being a disciple, the requirements to be a disciple. And they're strict. Remember, Jesus is on his way up to Jerusalem now to die. And he's being followed, we're told, by great crowds. Now, some of the people in those crowds probably were there because they liked watching him do the miracles. Maybe they liked being fed with the bread and the fish on the mountainside. They liked the bread and circuses, so to speak. Some wondered what he was going to do next. But he wants them to understand that if they're really his disciples, there are certain requirements. That's what he says to them today. Don't start what you can't finish, what you don't intend to finish. Don't pretend to be my disciple. He lays it out, what it requires. A few years ago, there was a little book written entitled The Spirit of the Disciple. And in the book, the author made a very interesting observation, really challenging, probably more than interesting. He said this. He said, in many Christian churches today, there are many people who are disciples, but not followers. They're disciples. They call themselves Christians, but they are not followers of Jesus. He explains. He says, these people would believe the Christian creeds, profess the Christian faith, but they don't live the Christian life. And he says, and that has become acceptable in the minds of many people. You profess you're a Christian, but you don't follow Jesus necessarily. Reminds me of a little story I read recently, a little short story called Saint Maybe. Saint Maybe. In the story, there's this young man named Ian. Ian's a sophomore in college. He likes college. He's doing well. A terrible car accident occurs, and his brother and his brother's wife, his sister-in-law, are killed tragically, leaving three little children. There's no other relatives that they can take them on, except for Ian's parents, the grandparents. So they take the children into the home. Now, they're a little bit aged now, elderly. This is a tough thing for them to do, take three little children into the home. So Ian thinks to himself, maybe I should take a semester off from college and go help my parents take care of these children. He says, no, I don't want to do that, no. So, but he feels guilty about not doing it. So one day he's walking down the street in the town where the college is. He goes by this church. And he hears people singing inside. He decides to go in. So he goes in, and he notices on his way in, the name of the church is the Church of the Second Chance. So he goes in, and at the end of the service, he starts talking to the minister, Reverend Emmett. And Reverend Emmett says, Ian, because Ian's introduced himself to him, he says, Ian, you have something you feel guilty about? Ian tells him the story. Reverend Emmett says, well, Ian, you know what I think? I think God's giving you a second chance. I think you should go home and help your parents take care of those children. So Ian decides that's what he's going to do. He goes home and he says to his mother and father, I've decided to take a semester off from college and come home and help you with the children. His mother said, you are not. You're not going to do that. No way. No way. His father said, that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. But Ian protests. He says, no, I want to come home and help you with the children. His mother says, for God's sake. And he says, exactly. For God's sake. Ian says to her, you know, doesn't it say in the scripture someplace, you must love not only in word and thought, but in deed and truth? His mother said, well, yes, but, you know, we raised you to be good Christians, you know, and we have nothing against religion. But our church never taught us we should change our whole way of life. And Ian says, maybe it should have. Maybe it should have. See, that's the point. To love in thought and word is to be a believer. But to be a disciple, you have to love in deed and truth. In deed and truth. You can be a believer without being a disciple, a follower. That's what Jesus says today. To follow me, you have to live my values, my way of life. You can't just say you believe and not follow. So maybe as we gather here today, that's the question for us, you know. Are there things in our life that we should be changing, but we don't? We think it's enough to believe. For example, if any of us here this morning, or myself, if I'm here this morning, and I were waiting for the time when I could take revenge on somebody. Somebody who's hurt me, harmed me, upset me. I'm just waiting for the time I can take revenge on them. That can't be. if you're a follower, if you're a disciple. Or if we're here today, if we know somebody that really needs our help, and we have the time and the talent to help them, but it just would be an awful lot of trouble, an awful lot of difficulty, so we don't. Can that be, if we're followers of Jesus? Can that be? What has to change? That's what Jesus is saying today. You know, when he says in the gospel today, what bothers us most of all, he says, you know, you must hate your mother and your father and your wife and your children. Well, you know, we don't like to hear that. And what does he mean anyway? Because he tells us to love everybody. So how can he tell us to hate people? Well, we have to understand he's speaking in a Semitic mentality. What he's saying there is not that we should hate those we love the most, but that even in the most precious of our relationships, if that relationship would threaten to take us away from him, it has to take second place. If a wife or a husband or a child were to tempt me to fall away from the Lord, the answer would be no. That's what he means when he's talking about that. So maybe that's the question for us. Are we followers? Not just believers. Are we followers? Let me conclude with an example that the scripture today itself gives us. That interesting letter from St. Paul to Philemon that we read from today. A very short letter. St. Paul's in prison in Rome. And he becomes acquainted while he's in prison with Onesimus, who's a runaway slave. He's run away. Somehow Paul gets introduced to him and becomes friendly. And Paul converts him and baptizes him. That's what Paul means when he says today, he's become my child. I become his father. He means that he's baptized him. He's now a Christian. And for some reason, Onesimus wants to go home. He wants to go back to Philemon. We don't know why. Maybe he had family there. Maybe he just missed being there, wherever it was. But here's the problem. A runaway slave in those days was subject to terrible punishment, even death. You know, slavery was a social fact in those days. Social fact in much of the world up until recent times, right? Even in our own country, we know. Many of our founding fathers owned slaves. Washington, Jefferson were slave owners. It took a long time for the church, for all of us, under the inspiration of the Spirit, to understand that slavery was incompatible with the love of God. It took us a long time to understand that. But this is the situation at the time of Paul. Philemon, obviously a Christian, owned slaves. So Paul says to Philemon, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take Onesimus back. Don't punish him. Take him back, not only as a slave, but as a brother. As a brother in Christ, take him back. Now just think of what he was asking Philemon to do, the consequences that would have for Philemon. What would it say to the other slaves? This runaway slave, now he's taking him back. What would it say to the other slaves? Encourage them to do the same thing? What would it say to the other slave owners? Philemon probably had a lot of friends who owned slaves. If he took back a runaway slave and didn't punish him, what would that say? You know, it's like a powder keg, right? Paul is asking him. See what Paul is saying to him, though? Change your life. Change your life. Receive him back as a brother. Did Philemon do that? We don't know. But there's an interesting little tidbit in history that maybe gives us a clue. In the first century, St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was the bishop of Antioch in those days, wrote a series of letters to other bishops in the area. And he wrote one letter to the bishop of Ephesus, which is in Turkey. The bishop of Ephesus in those days was named Onesimus. Is it possible that Philemon took Onesimus back and Onesimus ultimately became the bishop of Ephesus? We don't know. But the point is, you see what he was asking Philemon to do? Change your life be a follower of Jesus, a follower, not just a believer. Treat this man with love, even though that's contrary to everything else the social customs are telling you. Change your life. So as we gather today, let's ask for the grace to understand what it means to be a disciple. Disciple can't just be a believer. Disciple has to be a follower. Let's pray that we might love not just in thought and word, but in deed and truth. Then we will be disciples. May God bless you.